This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now.
Welcome back, Sean. How you doing, brother?
Good. You're looking good tonight. The beard is looking majestic.
Well, we aim to keep it majestic. I have to do hair and makeup.
Welcome back, Sean. How you doing, brother?
Good.
We're live. Episode number 30. Bumper.
Hang on. I'm getting some feedback here. All right. Say that again, Rich. Sorry about that.
I think I muted it on my end. That's my bad. I'm just trying to run the this new software called StreamYard, guys. So, we're shifting away from Blog Talk Radio and what we were using before because YouTube has updated its use of live broadcasting, and you couldn't, until you use something like StreamYard, incorporate others into the call. So just getting used to it. Looks like I've got it clean and working. We'll be posting the join link momentarily for you guys that want to ask questions throughout the rest of the show. But just kind of kicking it off, two things. We got the topic, and we also have your experience at a men's rights conference you were at last week or over the course of the week.
Yeah, I got invited to go to a men's rights conference in Chicago. This is the International Conference for Men's Issues, and wasn't sure what to expect with it. You know, when I think about men's rights activists, I think about the ones that gets highlighted, which are the guys standing around in the corner holding signs and complaining. And the problem with that is that people get anxious when men complain, and then people get hostile with men complain. It really doesn't advance the cause. And I didn't know if I would see any of that when I went to this conference, and wasn't sure what to expect, but I didn't see any of that. What I saw was a bunch of really bold, brave people. I hate that word brave. I'm trying to think of a different word because that's associated with, you know, bold and brave feminism. But a lot of gutsy people who are actually putting a lot on the line to fight some very unfriendly and powerful forces on campus and within the legal system and so forth. And I was really pretty impressed by how much skin these folks had in the game and how hard they're working and taking some big risks with their livelihoods and their lives sometimes. So it was an interesting experience. So what I took from it was a couple of things. Number one, that old lesson that we all got to be reminded of once in a while, which is step outside of your stupid bubble once in a while, you might learn something. And then the other is made me think, you know, how much skin do I have in the game and do I need to up my game? Because if I'm really interested in helping men avoid train wrecks, maybe I need to up the game a bit here.
Did you decide to change anything with your strategy on your end?
Not yet. Just I'm feeling inspired, but I'll see where it leads.
Are they having any impact with these men's rights conferences and the activism? Because, I don't have any personal experience, but from what I've seen, it seems like the energy and the resources that you apply to helping men live better lives and make better choices so they can avoid train wrecks, I think starts from within. I don't see a lot of forward momentum when it comes to influencing policymakers and legislation and stuff like that. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. And I start where you start, which is work within your own individual life. And from the ground up, and that's what I spoke about when I was there. But and there are some folks that are like Paul Elam, and he's kind of a badass. Like, I like that guy. He doesn't take guff off anybody, and he defends his ideas, and he's a solid dude. And he seems to come from a similar mindset where you start with the individual and go upward. He has some policy ideas too. But one area where I saw some people making a big difference is like the Title IX abuses here in the United States. And I don't know if you know what Title IX is because you don't have it there. You have worse things there, I think. But this is the amendment to our legal system that initially started out with boys and girls in schools having to have equal funding for athletics. And it has turned into, over the years, evolved into this these kangaroo courts where you have groups of feminists on campus in very powerful positions that are essentially just out to get young men and ruin their lives. And that's not always the way it is, but there are some tremendous abuses of Title IX. And so there are some very smart people who are fighting this. They're fighting this in the courtroom, and they are going to have an impact. I think you're going to start to see some really big impacts. I met a kid who started the first, sorry, I'm distracted by a little feedback that I'm getting. He started the first class action lawsuit in California against schools with their Title IX abuses. And once this class action lawsuit takes hold and starts to generate some actual results, it's going to open a floodgate, and these kangaroo courts are going to have to answer for their methods. And one of the presenters went through the process of these kangaroo courts, where they will say that they're not a courtroom when they're prosecuting and so forth, so they don't have to follow due process. But then when they're exacting their punishment after they've been judge, jury, and executioner, then they do act like they have some kind of legal authority. And it's just a mess, but I think they're going to be in a real mess soon because of some of the initiatives that are taking place behind the scenes.
I'm getting just some comments here. Some people are saying that they're getting feedback and echo when you're speaking. Do you guys get it when I speak? Again, you know, we're just kind of just getting used to this new StreamYard software so we can broadcast with everybody. It's mildly distracting. Can hear Sean over it. It's intermittent. Okay. Let us know in the comments if it's too bad. Maybe we'll ask Sean to try it from another device, or we can just log out and log back in. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Okay, so today's kickoff topic, we're going to talk about deciding on whether or not you should keep her or dump her. This is kind of something that we left off last episode with. You wanted to start this one with this topic. How did you want to kick off on that one?
I just switched my mic, so let's see if that helps out at all. Is this better? Are you guys still getting feedback from me?
Nothing's changed on my end, except for the quality's gotten worse.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments if it's any worse or any better on your end when you guys are hearing this. I know there's a little bit of a delay from when we talk and when you guys can actually type in, but let us know.
All right, so I'll speak up since the quality went down. I'm still getting the feedback. The question that I got from somebody was, guy's dating a girl. He seems to be kind of attached to her. She's got some issues. She's not like a broken person, but she's got some things that she's struggling with, and like we all do. And she's making progress in these areas, he says. And I'm not going to divulge too much detail because he didn't want me to give too much detail, but I did notice him in the chat last week. So maybe he'll show up and tell us a little bit about this story. But he's noticing that she is making efforts to improve these problems that she has, but he's unclear on how to judge it and how to decide what is enough progress when you have someone in your life. And I think a woman could just as easily be asking this question. You got somebody in your life who's struggling with something, whether it's some history, some substance abuse, whatever it is. Where do you decide enough effort is enough effort and you can keep going? So that was a question.
So just back to the audio thing real quick. They're asking if there's a second mic on your laptop desktop that's enabled, that's picking up the audio, but they're saying it's better on this end. So, and to kind of come back to the topic, I was actually talking to somebody last night about this, very issue. He's been going back and forth. He's basically been dating this woman for the last 3.5-4 years, and she keeps breaking up with him on a regular basis. And, you know, I always like to try to determine some kind of litmus test to give the guy something useful to, or at least something useful that they can use as a measuring stick or a yardstick when they're trying to determine which way to go. And in life, you're going to have people that are going to fill your sails with wind and kind of pull you along. And you're going to have others that'll be anchors, which will be a drag and kind of hold you back. And his problem was he had a lot of drama and she really wasn't complimenting his life. So the way that I encourage him to look at it is basically go about it this way. Look for signs drama's going down and that she's complimenting your life going up. And if those two things start to move in those sorts of directions, then that's a keep scenario. If you see an increase in drama and her not complimenting your life, like it's going the opposite direction, then that's a see you later, Felicia, you know, scenario. How you doing there with the audio, Sean?
I'm playing and pushing buttons and stuff. Anything, is this any better?
It sounds better on my end. The audio quality improved significantly when you did that. Let us know if it's any better on your end. I'm going to grab the join link for those of you that want to ask questions. And just pop it in here. There we go. Boom. All right. So the join link is in the chat. If you're going to join on and pose a question for us tonight, come with your question. You know, sometimes people will go on a little bit and I'm going to have to, you know, cut you off if you do that, but come with your question. Always best to have, like a wired microphone or something like that. So you get some good audio, quality for us. So we don't have a problem hearing you or it cuts out or anything. Again, the show's before the train wreck. What we're trying to do is help you guys avoid potential train wrecks in your life. So if your spidey senses are tingling about something in your world and you want to pose a scenario to Sean and I to get some feedback on it, then hit that link over there. Join us on the broadcast. What usually ends up happening is we've got like the entire queue full by the end of the night, and we have to let people go. So join us now if you do have something that you'd like to pose us as a panel to help you avoid a potential train wreck. Oh, and smash that like button. Show us some like love.
So, Rich, I like what you just said. The only thing I would add to it is having a plan contingency for relapse, because when somebody's dealing with any kind of problem, they're going to relapse. Things are going to go back. So she needs to have a plan. You need to have a plan, but don't pretend that it's not going to happen, because it will.
Yeah, let me ask your professional opinion on this. So, I mean, one of the things that I've noticed a lot of guys tend to deal with is they end up in a scenario where there's manufactured indignation or drama that comes out of these, you know, do I keep her or do I dump her scenarios? What is your strategy for dealing with recurring issues like that with women?
Manufactured drama. Give me an example.
Well, in the absence often of any kind of drama or indignation in a relationship, women will sometimes actively manufacture it out of nothing. They'll make a mountain out of a molehill. That's more of a better case scenario. Worst case scenario, I mean, I've talked to guys, like I had this one coach, a client that used to track the arguments he used to have with his girlfriend. And it seemed like every 42 hours, there was an argument coming up. It's like he actually set a reminder on his phone and it would set an alarm. It's like at the 42 hour mark, oh, you're about to have an argument with her. And sure enough, she would come at him with something. I'm not saying that, you know, anybody needs to track these patterns. What I'm asking specifically is, what coping skills do you recommend guys use for setting those boundaries when they're coming at him constantly with manufactured drama? Like, it's not real. It's more manufactured than anything.
Right. And if it's coming at you constantly like that, my first thought would be there's something going on, and there might be something going on your end that's encouraging it. But, and you know, taking a look at that, but if it's an occasional thing, I think the most important thing to do is to not respond to it by taking it personally. Just get inquisitive about it. Like, what's going on here? I don't understand. Help me get what you're trying to accomplish in this moment.
Like, what's behind that is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't do that if you're taking it personally and getting upset.
Correct.
So you remind yourself, this is her problem. This is not my problem. I'll help her through it if I can, but it's ultimately up to her. Yeah.
We've got a couple of people that have joined on that's, I want to put the question to share. Let's go to this guy over here, High Class.
Rich, I'm going to log out for just a second and log back in and see if I can fix this.
Yeah, sounds good. Come back. Okay. High Class, can you hear us okay? Hello, High Class, can you hear us okay?
Yo.
There you go.
Oh, what up? Hey, so I just started seeing this chick recently through a friend, actually, and she used to be a stripper and wants to start stripping again. What are your thoughts on that?
Sorry, you're seeing a woman who used to dance, and by the way, guys, I need you to use PG-13 language on the channel. The litmus test that I want you to use is pretend you're sitting at an Applebee's or a Swiss Chalet restaurant and you got families and old people around you, so try to water down the language a little. But I think exactly what you're saying. But your question is, you're dating an exotic dancer or a former exotic dancer. Is that the question?
Yeah, she's a former exotic dancer and is expressing interest in dancing again.
Uh-huh. And what's your question? Like, should I marry her?
she's super fine, but the current field she's in is actually in, like, HR. So she you tried to like steer away from it, it seems.
Uh-huh. And how old is she?
25.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm not really clear on what the question is. Like, what do I think of it? She's a plate. I mean, you're not going to do anything serious with a woman that's chosen to be an exotic dancer, yeah? I mean, a smart guy doesn't.
Correct. What I'm more so getting at is, how would you word it to her in a way that's like, yo, that's not, you're 25. Like, you got to start looking for real career type stuff.
Well, she's in her,
it as is.
Well, she's in her younger years, right? So, I mean, she's still looking to enjoy her 20s. She's in her party years, and maybe that's part of the party year agenda for her. How's your audio, Sean? Do you think it's any better?
Doesn't sound real great. How do I sound?
Sounds great on my end.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make do then.
All right. So.
And then also I had a question. What do you guys think about that dude, Corey Wayne, and what he teaches and stuff?
All right. Let's come back to his teaching in a moment. But first I want to have Sean respond to your question. So high class has dated this woman before who's an exotic dancer. She got into HR. She's 25. She wants to get back into exotic dancing. What are your thoughts on her as somebody to have in a man's life?
Why does she want to get back into exotic dancing?
I think just for the money.
There's a lot of ways to make money. Why exotic dancing? Something doesn't square about that.
Yeah, you're right. You'd figure HR would be a lot easier on the consciousness too. But that was the reasoning she gave me. It wasn't like she said for sure. She just kind of like whiffed that out there for me to like, you know, interpret however I deemed. And I just kind of blew it off like whatever. But behind the scenes, I'm like, is this chick serious?
It sounds like she's seeking approval from you. But at the same time, I mean, you're probably more likely to bring Chrissy, the HR girl, over for Thanksgiving dinner than Chrissy, the appealer, right?
Right.
So, I mean, like, you just got to decide based on your own value system what it is you want to do with this chick. I mean, at 25 and exotic dancing, I mean, she's, in my estimation, nothing more than just a plate in rotation. That's where you're at right now. But you certainly don't want to put a ring on a baby in the oven.
So what does exotic dancing mean? Is she on a stripper pole, or is she doing some kind of belly dancing thing that's a little more legit?
Stripping pole, but it's Portland, Oregon, so it's fully nude type shit. I'm sure there's some back room action going too. I have no idea, but
yeah,
you know how it goes.
There's always extracurricular activities for bonus money when it comes to that profession, right?
Yeah. Right,
so do you want someone in your life that is, I mean, is this who you want to get attached to?
I'm not really tripping on that. I'm more so like, how do I word it to this girl that she needs to like kind of grow up?
If you were to tell her you got to grow up, what do you think her response would be?
Well, she'd probably tell me that she already has. That's why she's in HR. But then I'd be like, well, then why'd you tell me about, you know, she's just fucking with me.
Right. Rich, how much time would you spend on this conversation?
Very little. It's like, you know, why would you even entertain it? I mean, yeah, I get that maybe there's something hot about dating. Sorry, I'm going to mute you, high class, because you're getting feedback from whatever you're doing in the background there at your work. But I wouldn't put a lot of effort into it. It's, I mean, really from my perspective, she's a plate. That's it. And I know you don't like that plate, but she's a non-exclusive, dating, you know?
Well, so,
there's got to be a better exception that comes along than an exotic dancer that's 25 from Portland that wants to leave her HR job to take off her clothes in front of other men to look for attention, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of mystified by this question because there's something going on her end. She's looking for something. You don't go hang off a stripper pole unless you're looking for something. And this is why I don't know how to answer the question, because I don't know what she's looking for. But it doesn't sound like she's looking for high class. She's looking for something else. I don't know.
She's looking for attention and money is what she's looking for.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
But why? Why is she looking for attention? I get the money, but why is she looking for attention? That's the part that I'm really curious about.
Let's take him off mute. What do you think?
I think you nailed it. Attention. Definitely looking for approval, like slash attention, and money for sure. But I don't know. I make good money, so I think, and I do like, I'm an artist, so I do my own thing. So I think that's why she floated it out there. Like, I don't know. But
all right. So what are you gonna tell her?
This is a fun girl. This is not an LPR girl. It's as simple as that. It really just boils down to that. Just make sure you knock her up. Make sure you're using protection, and you're all good. Your second question.
I think that's it.
Yeah, and your second question was you're asking about Corey Wayne. So what are you asking about him specifically?
Just is that like sound advice? I just saw one of his YouTube links recently, and it was like recommended, and I don't know. You guys definitely know what you're talking about. I've been following you for a minute, so just what your guys' thoughts were within the industry or whatever.
I don't know Corey Wayne. Is that the dude on Saved by the Bell?
No, he's probably not. He wrote a book called How to Be a 3% Man. Here, I'm just going to mute you again, high class, because the feedback from your shop. He wrote a book
How much of a percent man?
How to be, I think, a 3% man. Basically, you're in the top 3% of all men. And I've seen a few of his videos because people have mentioned his name before. And I bought his book, and I was going to do a book review on it, because, you know, like I have in the past, and I just couldn't publish it because I didn't have a lot of good things to say about it. And I'd rather not publish a video that's disparaging somebody, let alone getting to depth about, you know, the details why. But when you start hearing him talking about how beautiful it can be to be with a single mother and some of the nonsense that he kind of like ties around a lot of more purple pill type of conditioning, I'm not a big fan of that, because to me, you know, like the comforting lies that we've heard a lot of our lives are really tied into some of the basic more blue pill conditioning, where the uncomfortable truths are more of the red pill. Like, it's like they're really just placeholders. Like, red pill is really more of the uncomfortable truths, and comforting lies are more of the blue pill. And he's kind of like more in the middle towards the blue pill conditioning. I think he offers some value, but at the end of the day, I think it's more of a entry point to more deeper level understanding that we talk about on this show and some other stuff on my channel and some of the other things that we really get into depth with on other shows like Rule Zero and stuff like that. So that's my take on it. I mean, Sean's not familiar with it, but take it with a grain of salt. It's kind of a starting point. It's more of like how to be a 30% man than a 3% man, in my estimation, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, maybe the stripper girlfriend could use a little Coach Corey Wayne.
Yeah, she could probably use a little bit more than just Coach Corey Wayne, if I'm being honest. Looks like the audio is a lot better for people watching. Is it better on your end in your headset, Sean?
Yeah, and I just made a couple changes over here.
All right, sweet. All right, let's grab another one. We're going to do one at a time. We got a bunch of people waiting. Just be patient. We'll get to you. Best bet is always to make sure you got your camera on, a headset, and a microphone. You'll get picked first just because your audio will obviously be clearer. I'm going to throw on C-Palms here because it looks like he's got a little setup. How you doing, C-Palms?
How you doing, Mr. Rich and Sean? Can y'all hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Fire away. You got a question for us?
I got a couple questions. One relationship-wise and one actually car-wise directed at you, Richard.
Yeah.
Let's do the car one because it's a relationship. I'm 6'6 with a long torso. I know you're about, what, 6'1, 6'2?
About 6'3.
What cars, anything from $40,000 to $50,000 do you fit in?
Because as I get older, I want to sit more upright instead of leaning back so much.
Well, I actually ruptured a disc in my neck from football. So like upright is exactly how I like it.
And you're what, 6'6"?
Yes, sir. Long torso.
Yeah. I'd grab something with a big cabin, like a pickup truck or an SUV then.
What's probably not a Tacoma.
Yeah. Like you don't want to sit in a small pickup truck, or you don't want to sit in like a Civic or anything where you got to recline back to get her headroom. Like even in my S5, like I find the headroom's super tight. Like I can just put my hand between my head and the headliner, and sometimes if I go over train tracks, it's like poof, you know, right into the headliner. But you want to
No racing helmet.
Yeah, like dude, like even a racing helmet I can't even put on in the R8. In the R8 I gotta sit like this with a racing helmet on because there's no headroom. So grab yourself a pickup truck.
Yes, sir. And relationship wise I know the
brother got a new Ram 1500, and it goes pretty good. Like, I don't know how fast you want to go. It's not going to keep up with Rich's R8, but plenty of room in it. A guy like you would be comfortable and is fast, or you could always go with the Raptor to 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. That's not bad for a pickup.
Yes, sir. That's what I own right now is a 1500 Ram. And what I've been looking at is Chevrolet made the SS, which is the Commodore in Australia, which is their full-size sedan with the Corvette running gear. So that's like my last hope.
All right.
But as far as the topic for today, dumper or keeper, it seemed like this last probably about 6 months of me dating, I've always attracted people who are just coming out of like long-term relationships, like the last probably six girls. And I've kind of always ended up on the same track, like 3 weeks in, I'm either acting as a surrogate for previous relationship. And I just want to know, is that like, it's like an automatic hard and fast rule when you hear that, it's just like, should I just dump her or keep going? Because it's always the same thing.
What's the pattern? Say the pattern again.
The pattern usually like these last six girls have all coming out of a long-term relationship. It's like okay. I'm coming in right after the breakup moment, and it seems like it's always 3 weeks in, you know, dates going, and then all of a sudden either acting as a surrogate boyfriend from before, or she's just not ready to move past that, and I just end it because it's just like, you know, it gets boring.
So six data points says there's a common denominator, and it's you, and I wonder what do you bring into this equation where you're picking these girls?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm just that I'm a very stable person. Like I'm working through school right now, have hopes and aspirings for a secondary master's degree. I got my stuff ducks in a row. I mean, going to college debt free so far. I wonder if that security Good. Draws them into it.
Yeah. What are you looking for?
In
terms of the relationship, you're looking for a car that fits, and you're also looking for
a hot babe to put next to it.
For what? Are but you no, looking for LTR or what where are I'm your values?
My values is on someone that I'm currently building an empire and eventually want to share that empire with someone who either makes it better. Like they try to make it worse. No, I want someone to share the empire with. That makes sense.
That's interesting. You know, you're looking to build an empire to share with somebody and hopefully they'll make it better.
Well, I'm building an empire, and if someone can bring good aspects to that, they can join in.
What does that empire look like for you?
Right now it's nursing school, 1 year NP school, and then eventually maybe even further medical education.
Mm-hmm.
And how old? Sir?
And how old are you?
24. And I'm also working out, losing weight. I used to be a lot bigger than I am. I've lost over 180 pounds. Going to school, working as a nurse tech to get experience beforehand. So that's, like I said, you know, chase excellence, working beforehand to get experience, working out, and chasing dreams.
And what age range do you normally date in?
Anywhere from like 21, 22 to about 25.
Yeah. You're still too young to be even thinking about adding somebody to your empire, right?
Yeah. That's just, you asked what I was looking for long term. That's like long term.
Yeah. Just like, what you're dealing with right now is you just kind of got these women coming into your life and they're doing some strange things, which you're not understanding.
Yes, sir.
You know, this is where I'm going to kind of go back to the whole, like, understand women, right? Carl said the other day on a broadcast, he said, it's really hard to pedestalize women when you understand their nature.
Yes, sir.
So you saying that let's add a woman to the equation and help her complement my life and, you know, run my empire sort of thing. I think you're putting too much value on assessing these feminine energies that are coming into your life, and more should be spent on you getting to, like, you know, 28, 29, 30 with a better understanding of the sexual marketplace and the role that women should be playing in your life. And you're kind of getting started. You're getting your feet wet, right? Like you're getting your head around, she should be a compliment to my life. And if she's not a compliment to my life, she's gone, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but you need to kind of get deeper than that and really start to understand the female nature component. Have you read Sean's book, Tactical Guide to Women?
No, sir. Right now I'm working on Rollo Tomasi. I have Rational Male, and then Preventive Medicine is coming in the mail.
Yeah, those are the two that I always recommend from his full series. Definitely go through them a few times, but you also need to get into Sean's Tactical Guide to get through some of the awareness components of really seeing, you know, what behaviors you want to look out for and what boundaries you can kind of set around that too. I'm going to shut up because I've been talking too much. Sean, you go.
Nah, you've got those dulcet tones. It sounds good.
Yes, sir.
So, Sipam, in the meantime, while you're building this empire, you sounds like you want to have women in your life. So what kind of women are you wanting to have?
I would say people I'm going to have fun with, you know, because, you know, school is, you know, nice, but it's extremely frustrating to have someone to take a break with, you know, go out for a date, go out, see a movie, you know, do other things that, you know, take my mind off of work.
All right. So, and these girls coming that are just coming out of long-term relationships, what do you, something about you is drawing them in.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. And that's what's frustrating.
I just want to know. You said that you said it might be your stability and you said it might be your stability. You give some, you got some vibes about being stable and women might find this comforting. And
that's one thing I've been told by friends of mine that I'm a very comfortable person to be around. I'm very sociable, easy talking. I mean, I can walk into a line of strangers and find someone to talk to, you know?
All right. So it's probably really easy for you to start a conversation with somebody who's coming out of a relationship and you're comfortable to talk to. Who else are you starting conversations with? Are you trying to branch out of that little niche?
Let's put it this way. If I see a girl and she doesn't have a ring on, I'm talking, okay. Getting, I want to say gang, just, you know, building that experience. Like, cause if you want to eventually talk to 100 people, you know, you eventually learn so much from just talking to them, listening to them, watching their body language, seeing what you can gain from the experience.
And then what's the common denominator with these 6 women that you've picked? What is it about them that's attractive to you?
I would say that they're very career oriented. A lot of them are saying, you know, pursuing medical degrees. They fit the physical, you know, short and sweet, but they're very, I would say, independent to a certain way. You know, they're not, you know, just going out, you know, how would I say this? They're out having fun, but they're trying to pursue a degree that actually means something.
What is it about them coming out of a relationship that's messing things up for you and them?
It's just, I always get the one liner that's, you know, I'm not ready right now, or I'm not looking for that right now.
Okay, but they were when they started talking to you. No, that's fine. When they started talking to you, they were looking for you. Yeah, something happened where they weren't.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they show that initial interest, and then like a week or two in, it's just kind of like,
okay,
all of a sudden, like a wall comes down.
Are you turning? So now there's another possibility that there's a possibility here that them coming out of relationships is a story that you're telling yourself that there may actually be something else going on where they're turning away from you. Is that a possibility?
I think I know what you're hinting at. You're talking about like attraction levels and like.
Yeah, I just want to jump in here. Are they getting turned off because you're too much of a nice guy?
I think a small part, yes. Nice is very relative.
Yeah, you're very nice and polite.
Yeah, I give respect.
What are you doing that's giving the nice guy vibe?
I think just being a generally polite person, and that sounds like a cop out.
Now, women are not opposed to politeness; they're opposed to something else. What is it that you're giving off that they're opposed to?
I guess not being aggressive enough.
Meaning what?
I guess not being able to turn up the attraction level at the right times, I guess you could say.
Let me ask you a question. What does your dad say when you talk to him about this?
I haven't talked to him about it. He's me and him are 2 different levels. Like, he doesn't even know about the red pill and all this.
Mm-hmm. You don't have conversations with him?
Mm-mm.
Okay. What was it that brought you to my channel?
What do y'all say? Being singled out.
You got zeroed out.
Yes, sir.
How'd you get zeroed out?
Exactly the standard one-itis, got depressed afterwards and got fat. And then, so I eventually worked on the fatness, working out, and, the red pill came about. I was honestly looking through book reviews and I found Rollo Tomasi's book. And so I was looking through it and then like Googled that. And then that's how I found you were first with your business stuff, with your debt stuff, and then just kind of like fell into the deep end of everything.
What beliefs have you changed since you started looking at that stuff?
Beliefs that I've changed. Completely got rid of one-itis, 100% got rid of that. That's over with. I like the saying that there's no good women, there's no bad women, there's just women. Mental point of origin has been one I'm struggling with. I know with like, you know, college and putting things first, I still have a, not every single thought throughout the day is always, you know, does this put me ahead or behind, but I'm working on that. Mm-hmm. A couple other things I highlight in Rolo's book that were really good. And probably the biggest thing that is like just trying to look towards like knowing that where I'm at now is if I keep doing what I'm doing, I won't be the same when I'm like 30 and 35, like work my butt off, get 2 degrees, you know, nice house, you know, I'll be more set to be able to choose than where I'm at now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're also dating women that are in their party years and they're not really looking for that nice guy either too, right?
Yes, sir.
But I think you already know that, or you're starting to realize that.
Yeah, I'm realizing that. They're looking for like, you know, now. And they're not, I wouldn't say they're not looking to put in a time, but like their time is their time.
Right.
They want to do, they have, I don't want to say solipsism, but they have their checklist is priority versus anybody else's.
Well, it's really just the phase of their life. I mean, you're dealing with women in their early 20s.
Yes, sir.
These women are notorious about, you know, partying and being with the girls and, you know, excursions and stuff like that. They want to have fun. And if you're coming along,
they're all coming out of relationships, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's doing in their early 20s. And so the story about them coming out of relationships is probably not a useful story to you. What do you mean when you say nice guy? I know what I mean. Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, all right. Also, when women are coming out of relationships, they're not looking for another relationship immediately. Usually what they're looking to do, especially in their 20s, because they still got their beauty and their youth and they know it. They're just looking to have fun, right?
Yes, sir.
So if you're treating them like, hey, let me be your boyfriend now after they just got out of a 3-year relationship with, you know, somebody else, and you're showing up and going, hey, I'm C-Poms, check me out. Let's, you know, hang out and be boyfriend, girlfriend sort of thing. You're approaching it from the wrong angle. You know, you got to approach it from the right angle, which is really more of a shorter term starting point. Date a few of them non-monogamously, spin the plates, and, you know, let the cream rise to the top and see how it goes from there. But it's like always making yourself your own mental point of origin, always.
Yes, sir.
You feel like they're doing you a favor by dating you?
What do you mean by a favor?
Like are you the goods that needs to be valued here, or
the prize?
Say that.
Oh, are you the prize?
Yeah.
Taking too long to think about this.
If you're taking that long to think about it, you know that you're putting them up on a pedestal still, right?
I would say that's one thing I'm working better at. It's just that, you know, if I take an impersonal look at it, am I the prize? I think you have to wait a little bit longer in life before you can like really own that. Because I mean,
it's a lot harder for younger men to own that. They don't feel like they're prized at 25, right? It's not till later on in their 20s or even 30s. I mean, like even for some guys in their 40s where they got their shit together, we're like, yeah, I have value. I am the prize, right?
Yes, sir.
You're just kind of getting there. I mean, you're still looking at girls like, they smell nice.
They do smell nice. Some better than others. But
yeah, I think that's well said. Here's what I see in you, C-Poms. I see a guy who's got big ambitions. You're not there yet. You haven't reached your full sexual market value. You're not going to for a while. And so I'm wondering if you're approaching them with a little bit of nice guy syndrome. You know what I mean when I say that? Have you read Dr. Glover's book?
Yeah, I've read the excerpts of it. The online version of it.
Read the book. It's a dangerous path if that's what's going on, because what happens is you start developing this belief that if you are nice and dependable and sweet to them, that they're going to be nice and dependable and sweet back to you. And women don't work that way. The world doesn't work that way. And I just get this vibe that you're heading down that path. What do you think?
I will say that back post me 3 years before finding all this, I agree with you 100%, 110% wholeheartedly that, you know, it's that male rational thinking. Like if I do X, I get Y, and it's reciprocal. Mm-hmm. And like now I'm learning that. And I think a part of my niceness that I'm slowly learning is that whenever you're nice, you're a lot easier to get taken advantage of and people will use you. But I still have that. I always give everyone the benefit of the doubt first. And I think that I'm still like, if this is, you know, nice, like how it was, and this is how it should be, I'm just like slowly getting on that continuum. And I think that
you know the difference between nice and polite, right?
Yes, sir. Nice. I guess say nice has hidden motivations behind it. Like sometimes people are just nice. They get you to get something in return. Like I'm going to be nice to this girl so I can get with her later. But polite is, you know, respectable. Like, I give Mr. Rich and Sean respect because y'all have earned y'all status. And that's being polite.
Well said. The part about, you know, the hidden motivations. So where do you think you go from here?
I think I need to, first of all, focus on school, focus on money, focus on continuing to work out. And then, as you say, date more, get more experience, learn more, and especially read more. And not just read more, practice more.
That, I'm going to have one last point, and I'll let Rich jump in, that you have this image of what you want your life to be 10 years down the road, where you have this empire and you have your queen by your side. And I wonder if you're interviewing them for the queen position way ahead of when they're ready to be there.
That's one thing I've been told that I need to be careful and watch out for. Okay. And
other people have seen this.
Yeah, they're not ready to take the throne beside you until their late 20s, early 30s. And even then, you want to be damn sure you understand female nature before you go picking that one.
Yeah, but I don't think I want a 30-year-old as a throne, because that's like a little, up in age.
That's just the way that it goes, my friend. I mean, you know, you can't turn a hoe into a house.
It'll be fine when you're 35.
You know?
Yes, sir. That is true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, I'll let you go. Thanks for hopping on and asking the questions, man. We'll see you in a bit.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Good luck, buddy.
Let's throw a quick super chat up here. Thanks to Chris B. in Philly for the $5 super chat. Much appreciated. We got another one here. Dan Avita says, thanks, Rich and Doc, for all you do. I found that when I speak my truth, women get offended because of their double standards. Your advice has helped me to weed out drama in my life from those that add no value. They get pissed because I wear my own hat.
Attaboy. Good. Yeah, I don't get pissed. I weeds out the ones that aren't, that let shouldn't them, waste your time with.
Let them get mad, like Sean said. Let them get upset. It's okay. I'm going to throw Ryan on here. He's one of the guys from my community. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing good. How about you guys?
How you doing? Good. Kick it off, man. What's your question?
Excellent. So not necessarily as on the topic as perhaps I would like, but I had a question about not necessarily imposter syndrome, but I've had trouble all my life sort of feeling like I fit in, or feeling like the internal value I have of myself, the internal view of myself, is not being reflected in the world. The feedback I'm getting says that I'm not who I think that I am. And the question that I have is, how do you overcome that in terms of, I know that I'm a relatively high value man. I've got my stuff together more or less, as much as anybody does these days. But it's hard for me to approach the world as if that's actually true, because I don't get the same feedback from the world that I would expect to be reflected in that way. Does that kind of make sense?
So you're looking at the world like it's a mirror, and it's not reflecting back the image that you hope, or that it should reflect back based on the work you've done.
Yes.
Interesting. Sean, go. I know you got something on this one.
What's an example of that?
Let me think. So like in both of my previous marriages, a lot of times I felt that I was getting married because this was the best that I could do, or because she was the best that I could get, even though there were red flags along the way that I'd seen before. Or in my last relationship, I felt like I was settling because, what's a good way to put it? I knew that I could do better, but she was the only one showing interest. So I'm not getting the interest from the people that I think that I should be able to get based on who I think I am. I know it's a little bit
complicated. So are we talking just women, or are we talking bosses and coworkers and so forth?
Mostly just women. So bosses and coworkers, that's actually kind of an interesting flip side, because they see me as far more capable than I'm willing to admit that I am. So there's a self-deprecation.
So disconnect.
Yes, definitely.
They're seeing you as capable and resourceful. Women are not seeing you as capable and resourceful.
Or they're seeing me, so my bosses and everything see me as far more capable and resourceful than I see myself, because I know that I'm not putting forth as much effort to get the results that they see. Women don't see me as valuable or as capable as I believe that I am.
Why do you think that is?
Part of it's the nice guy syndrome. You know, I grew up definitely with that paradigm of being the nice guy, being the geek, always kind of being outside the social circles, looking from the outside in, not being popular, being awkward with women, like outside of certain domains. And now that I'm not dating in those same domains, and Rich and I, we've talked about this sort of space before, I'm finding it very difficult to connect and kind of show that value to other people, or see that sort of reflected back to me.
How would women be behaving to you if they were seeing your value?
I would have expected more interest, or more indications of interest. Like I'm a relatively handsome guy. I think at least, or at least more receptive to my approaches or more willing to engage in conversation, that kind of thing.
One of the things that somebody in the, on the viewership picked up on is stop self-deprecating to start, right? Like that's one of the five rules of Tomas. I think it's the ninth one is don't self-deprecate.
That's one that I disagree with. And I'll tell you why, because I actually agree with what Rollo is saying there, if I understand what he's saying correctly, but self-deprecation done correctly actually shows a lot of confidence. And this is one of the problems that I think Trump has. You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
So when Obama was being self-deprecating, do you think that he was more or less charismatic than Trump when he's being defensive?
Well, there's no doubt that Obama has charisma, but I think when it comes to the sexual marketplace, there's no doubt that Trump is far more successful and far more alpha.
So what do you mean by it? Say that again, sorry.
And when I say alpha, like I mean as in a placeholder term, right? Like if I were to pick between Obama and Trump, for example, and associate Ryan with one of the two, he's probably a lot more like Obama than he is like Trump. But Obama's not grabbing anybody by the pussy.
Probably not. Okay, so what do you mean by self-deprecation?
Well, he doesn't have a strong opinion of himself and a little more of a backdrop because, I mean, we've had private conversations. I don't want to disclose too much unless Ryan wants to get into it, but he hasn't had the best marriage, right? Like he hasn't had the best marriage in the past. He wasn't valued, between, you know, the alpha seed and the beta need side of the equation. He's definitely filled the role of the beta need in the past, right? And I think part of that belief that he has in himself is holding him back, if I can be honest. What do you think, Ryan?
Well, that's definitely part of it. And it gives Chance a little bit of insight in, and it's kind of hard to talk about this in public, obviously, but my last marriage weren't monogamous. She was much younger, much more attractive. And I kind of thought
by choice, you weren't monogamous?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the social spaces we met in were very non-monogamous. It was much more of a, you know, positive sexuality, swinging kind of scene, to kind of put it a frame around it. And that was good for us for a while, but it definitely put me in a situation where, you know, she was 13 years younger than I was, with all that entails in terms of relative sexual value, so to speak. You know, I definitely hit my sort of professional peak and she was at her beauty peak, and that was kind of level. But in terms of the way she treated me, she definitely saw herself as much more the prize and didn't appreciate the kind of the things that I brought to the marriage, at least not in the way that I would have hoped to her to do so. And that's been kind of the thing that I've been struggling with, is I feel like I always bring this sort of, I'm really good at the comfort piece. I'm really good at the mentoring and the providing and that sort of thing. And I've always loved to be able to do that for my partners. And I don't feel like that's reciprocated, obviously, sort of the covert contract piece that you had talked about mm-hmm. before. But I also feel like I've got a lot of the other things in my life handled as well, in terms of like being physically attractive, being able to be, you know, a dominant presence in a lot of different situations, being competent and from a professional standpoint and so forth.
I feel like you're still idealizing women, right? Like, I feel like that there's still some sort of like ideal that you're looking for, some sort of validation, even if you will, from them, like some sort of form of approval. They must approve of me. And I think that there's a point that you got to get to as a guy, especially around our age, where it's like you're outcome independent. You don't really care if she's down with it or not. She's down with it. Awesome. Come along for the ride. Compliment my life. You know, let's go get this. She's not. All right. See ya. Right.
Okay. So how do you get there then?
Well,
I think that's the thing that I'm
Carl said the other day on a Rule Zero. He said, you know, it's impossible to pedestalize a woman when you understand their true nature. You know, which kind of ties into another phrase that I've heard many times before, is you can't love a woman and understand them at the same time, you know, like pick one or the other sort of thing.
Okay. That's interesting.
What do you think about that one?
Well, this whole line of conversation started when Rule Zero Dad, I think, said, stop self-deprecating. And So I want to check the premise. Are you self-deprecating, and what does that even mean? That can mean several different things here.
Professionally, I do, because I know that I'm not putting forth as much effort professionally as I think that I should in order to get the accolades that I get. Like things professionally are easy for me to do. So I think I get outsized rewards for the effort I put in. And in terms of my relationships with women, I think it's very much the opposite in terms of
Let me say that again. So at work, you're self-deprecating because you know you're good.
Yes.
Okay. With women, you're not self-deprecating.
Correct. I feel like it's the opposite sort of effect where I'm putting a lot more effort in and I'm not getting the same kind of results.
What does effort mean?
In terms of putting myself out there, making approaches, in terms of being giving, in terms of being... that's an interesting point. I definitely do much more of the comfort provider sort of care aspect than the exciting piece. Huh. So this is why I dial into these shows.
Yeah, like I just want to see you give, you know, fewer F's to this. You know, like it's nice when you got a beautiful woman that compliments your life and you can have some fun with, but at the end of the day, so what? And I think that when you stop caring or when you care a little bit less about that happening, if and when it does happen, you're going to have more of an outcome independence when it comes to the equation, every little equation, whether it's, you know, like approaching her, you got a date going on, it's a follow-up conversation after that. I mean, you're putting too much value on, does she approve this interaction? Does she approve this text message? Does she approve of this last date? Does she approve of my sexual performance? Whatever that might look like. I just feel like you're giving like too many F's about what she thinks.
Yeah, Rich and Ryan, I kind of get this vibe that you're confident at work because you know you're good. And so you present one way. And the lack of confidence, I'm wondering if it has taken on a life of its own in this other arena.
That could definitely be true. I'll have to think on that one. Awesome. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate that.
Yeah, marinate on that. Let's catch up on that later.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, that was an interesting one.
So, Rich, define, before we get to this super chat, define self-deprecation for me.
You see it a lot in like text threads on screen captures, you know, for example, you'll see a guy message a girl like, hey, you know, I wasn't being myself, the last couple of weeks. I've been a real downer. Some crap's been going on at work. I'm usually a fun guy. I promise I won't be needy and text you all the time and like blah, blah, blah sort of thing. It's like you don't have a very high opinion of yourself and you self-deprecate to try to win her approval because we think that that's going to work.
Okay, I'm with you.
It never really works. I mean, it backfires on guys. Like that's what self-deprecation is, generally speaking.
Okay, so what about the other definition of self-deprecation where you can joke a little bit about yourself, not insult yourself, not undermine your credibility or your resourcefulness or anything like that, but you can show the world that you don't need to take yourself that seriously?
Yeah.
Is that a sign of confidence or a sign of weakness?
I mean, there's a way that you can go about that with your mates, I think. Which is pretty common. It's like, guys do this among guys all the time, but I don't think it serves a man any purpose whatsoever to self-deprecate to a woman.
Even in the sense we're talking about now, with guys that shows confidence.
Yeah. You can't be a pussy. Like you can't be somebody that's going to emote and drop all your emotions on her. I mean, it's expected.
Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay. So what are you talking about?
Yeah. I agree with you. I'm just talking about having a little lightness about yourself, being able to laugh things off.
Yeah, you can't take yourself seriously all the time. Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
All right. It's a little definitional problem here with that phrase because it means so many different things.
Yeah. Let's hit the super chat from James. Just cold next to a quite attractive 22-year-old Latina girl I was seeing for bad behavior. Felt the train wreck coming, guys. Thanks for the content. Thank you for the super chat. Appreciate that, James.
I know what those red flags were.
Yeah, guys, join us. It's so much better when we can get you on the stream. I'm going to put you on here, Camilla. Let's see what you got here for us. Just unmute yourself.
All right. Hey, guys. Can you hear me fine?
Yeah, loud and clear. Go ahead.
All right. So my current you know, tingling sensations and whatnot, is I'm dating an older girl. Yes, she has, and this is more like social media based, unfortunately. She's pretty addicted to social media. I've talked to her before. She says she feels like anxious if she doesn't go on it for periods of time. But anyways, one account is generally a dog account, kind of, in a way. It's kind of weird. And the other one's like her page, which is like kind of like a modeling photo shoot sort of page. But the thing is, like, she kind of intersects both pages, and there's guys there that are into like the same type of breed of dog as she's in, which I am too. That's how we kind of met in a way, but not on social media. We met kind of outside hiking. But there's like guys there that obviously she gets lots of attention from both accounts, but she tends to, so attractive guys that follow her main account by finding her dog account, she follows them too on her personal page. Is that, and they kind of, you know, DM each other there. So I'm guessing like that's a huge red flag. Yeah.
So the dog account is the gateway drug that gets her the hit, like, she needs on her Instagram.
Yeah. It's like, page or whatever. It's like, she's not on social media enough. And of course she has like two pages.
So sorry, I'm just confused. Okay. So older girl, how much older is she?
7-8 years.
And you're how old?
24.
She's in the 30s. Okay. So she's running two Instagram accounts, and just, and again, one's a business account and one's personal.
One's a personal slash business because she does, like, she works for an agency for modeling. And then the other one's kind of like, she's, you know, red flag as well, kind of obsessive with her pets. So her dog. Okay. So she runs that. But I have, like, we have a
specific. Is it like specific... Mark Rogan? Like, Joe Rogan's got, like, an Instagram page for his dog sort of thing?
Yes, exactly. And she posts pictures of herself here and there. And I'm in there too, but it's like a working type dog. Okay. So it's obviously, you see lots of guys, and, you know, with that type, you know, it's pretty.
So, like, the Instagram account that she's posting to on a regular basis, is it daily? Is it multiple times a day? Like, what's the frequency?
Yeah, pretty multiple. Like, story-wise, it's probably like 6-8 stories a day. Okay. And then she posts daily on the dog account, but the photo shoot one, the personal one, and she posts maybe like once every 3 weeks or so.
Is she selling anything? Does she have a product, a service, a program, a course?
Absolutely not.
So she is a service and product then.
That's no.
She's looking for attention and validation outside.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, what's concerning me is like, there's guys that, you know, find her in the dog account, and then they start following her on her personal right. account, and then she follows them back saying like, you know, it means nothing, but.
No, it means something. It means that she has validation from that other guy, right? I mean, there's like probably many. Like, how many followers does she have?
About like 40,000 on her personal. 000? Yeah, on her personal. And then her dog account has like 1,000.
Is she promoting posts to build an audience? Like,
no, nothing. Like, there's nothing comes out of it.
On the private chat, can you link her Instagram just so I can pull it up under their window? I don't know if you can link it or just type it out. Just type it out.
On the private?
Yeah. There's a tab there.
Sorry if this is like
I just want to pull it up. Like, let's do a little thought experiment here. And by thought, I mean THOT.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Got you loud and clear. You just go over the private chat over here. Let's see if we can.
On the private chat?
Yeah, just on the private chat there.
You got it?
Otherwise, everybody else is going to see it. Okay, I got it right there. Let's pull it up here. So, Sean, I'll let you kind of dive into this a little bit with him while I pull this up and do my investigative work here.
You lost me, Camilo, in the first sentence when you said she gets kind of anxious when she doesn't check her social media. But anyway.
Yeah, so I was kind of going, I was talking to her, like, how come you're always on the phone? Like, you can't go an hour without touching the phone. Kind of like diving deep, or, you know, trying to like see what's going on. And yeah, she was just kind of telling, or, you know, being true with as much as you can, saying like, yeah, she does feel anxious when she doesn't, you know, she's on her phone.
So just to kind of frame this for you guys, sleeve tats, she's in her 30s. The ratio is 37,000 followers, and the engagement rate's like 770 hearts, likes. What that means is she bought her followers. They're not real. So now she's posting on a regular basis, looking for the attention and validation from other people. These are all sexy, provocative poses. These are not pictures that I would let an LTR post on social media. That would be grounds for dismissal. This is not wife, girlfriend type of material. This is her looking for attention and validation. I mean, she's wearing bikinis in like half of these too, right? She's wearing almost.
Yeah.
So she's 31. She's got this compulsive, over-sexualized behavior.
But she has gotten a lot better. Like, post, you know, she used to post stories of herself. Now she completely stopped, like, bikini-wise. But she does post selfies here and there. But ever since we started dating, she did stop that. I mean, so there's a...
This is still driving the bus for her, though. She, like, she can't step away from this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, she can't.
31.
32.
She have 32. Does she have any desire to step away from this?
Yeah, I mean, she says she wants to, you know, mature, grow a family, you know, get a family, and...
Uh-huh.
I mean, we have great chemistry. That's, I mean...
Did she look like the kind of chick that wants to have a family with these bottles of whiskey that she's got up in the air dancing around in her
underwear? Hey, believe it or not, she's a nanny too. So there's
Okay. So, yeah, so you should just put a, you know, ring on her finger and put a baby in the oven and you're all good. All right, next call.
Okay, yeah. Concur.
Dude, what's the question? Like, what are you asking here?
It's like, great connection. But there's just that holding that back. It's like, is it not worth the squeeze, you think, or just like kind of just letting that be?
Okay, so here's what I see potentially causing a train wreck for you. One, the age difference. Two, she's tatted up. Three, she's posting regular pictures of herself, soliciting the attention of men, like provocative, sexy pictures. This is not about selling a course. This is not about selling a program. This is not about, I train dogs, sign up for my workshop on Saturday. This is about... Okay. Give me attention and validation. Four, she bought her audience. Okay. That's a big red flag. When the ratio is out of whack. So let me give you a specific example. So I've never bought a single follower on any of my social media platforms. They're all completely organic. And when you do that, I think my follower account on Instagram is like around 15,000 or something like that. If there's a useful post that goes out that gets good engagement and interaction, it'll get about 2,000 likes. So 2,000 on 15 is a pretty good engagement rate. If you got 40,000 followers on your list, but you're only getting 700 likes, that tells me that she bought her list, which means that she, like, to create the illusion that she's popular to the world, not only, you know, does she look for the attention from the world and the validation from it, but she's also paying money to create the illusion that she's important when she's not.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So
what was the question that you have about the whole situation?
I mean, just like if this is obviously as a train wreck, as I think it is, like as much as I think of it, it is, if that makes any sense. Like just from her following other guys that she meets through a different page and then just kind of DM each other and always need that reaction from other people. Right.
Yeah, she's getting the dopamine hit from all that. But I mean, like at the end of the day, Camilo, like you're a good looking young man. I mean, you probably take great photographs together as well. I didn't see any pictures in there of you and her together.
It's her other account.
Oh, it's her other account. So, but I didn't see any pictures there of you and her. So this is her give me more attention account. The other account is where she kind of like posts pictures of your travels or what you guys do on a regular basis. Is that what that
was? Yeah. And our dogs.
And your dogs. Okay. So again, you know, just buy her a ring and put a baby in her and you're good to go. Dude, I'm just kidding. Don't. This has got potential train wreck written all over it. Your spidey senses are tingling for a reason. Be very careful. Okay.
Okay.
Like I've just given you four big reasons why this is a big potential train wreck. I mean, I could probably find five or six if I keep digging.
Great.
Here's what troubles me about this situation. If we set aside all the specifics, the account and the bot audience and all of that, you still have a person who is not in control of their behavior. The behavior is controlling her, whatever it is. Pretend it's shopping. Pretend it's gambling, whatever it is. She's not in control. That's pretty troubling.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
I guess.
I wonder what Camilo will do.
He'll probably, carry on. They'll probably carry on until the trauma sets in. until
maybe he'll call us back in a couple of weeks. Let us know what he decided.
I want somebody to call back and join and be like, look, man, you were so right.
Or I'd even be happy with you guys were wrong and it was a marriage made in heaven. Yeah,
you were wrong. You know, we got married, we had our 2.1 kids, and she complimented my life and filled my cup and never gave me any drama and didn't pork the pool guy or anything like that. And she stopped, you know, looking for attention online on social media. But I don't know, like, it almost feels like a lot of guys will come on and say, hey, look, you know, here's my problem. My spidey senses are tingling. What do you think? And you're like, oh, yeah, there's some red flags going up there, my friend. You've got 8/10 of the Chinese Communist parade going on here, and you're about to get like 9/10 if you keep going down this route. And it's just like they just don't want to give up on the ego investment that they've made into that relationship, right?
Yeah. And this lady's not hopeless. I mean, nobody's hopeless. I don't particularly like the arrangement, but that's me. I'm not Camillo. If she were to get a good therapist that would help her answer the question, how do I control behaviors that I'm not in control of? Then, you know, that's a good question. And that could actually make her a stronger person in life.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's just the reality of the sexual marketplace today is, we didn't have Instagram when I was 24. We didn't have anything when I was 24. You know, we didn't even see people taking selfies. We didn't have Instagram boyfriends taking pictures of girls in front of monuments and things like that so they could get the dopamine hit from posting it on Instagram.
We had the Polaroid instant cameras that cost like $12 a piece, and yeah, that do a lot of selfies.
You take a picture and you'd shake the image and it would come out and you put it up on the fridge sort of thing. Now it's like, you know, he'll take the picture of her up on a pedestal and then she'll go and use that same photograph that he takes to go get the attention and interest from other men. It's just bonkers. I mean, and all that social media has done is just facilitated an easier avenue for that attention to get, you know, distributed to other guys, you know, for them to get the dopamine. Yeah. There was this social experiment done where this guy went around and he was asking girls, like, what do you think of Instagram taking away the like count on Instagram? Because they've actually started to roll this out now where they're removing the like count from your posts. And girls hate it. You know, they want to see the like count publicly. Some people can only see the like count if they click and they see the insights now, but it's not shown publicly. But when women find out that people can't see what the engagement rate was like and how many people like the photographs, they're very disappointed because that's really the point of that activity.
Yeah, that's like taking a hit off the crack pipe and nothing happens.
Correct. Yeah. What is the point? Yeah. All right, let's throw it over here. Sage, I'm going to throw you onto the stream. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up? You guys can hear me?
Coming in loud and clear.
Okay, cool. I just want to thank you guys for all the work you've done. I'm actually supporting you guys out here from Hawaii.
Aloha.
I was just wondering, since I've kind of understood female nature a lot better, I find that after having interactions with women and going on dates and stuff, that I'm not able to find the same kind of like connection that I would before. Like after we say we've been hanging out a few times or had sex or anything, I don't have like almost any connection, I feel like. And I don't know if that's partially just to do with kind of just the quality of women around my age. I'm 20 and I was just wondering, you guys,
like, do you guys have anything in common? Is that what you're saying? Like, do you guys have fun?
No, like, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think like sometimes we'll go hiking, or I usually set the dates to do things that I like to do. So I'll have a good time and we'll, you know, sometimes we'll connect on things as well, but it's not, I guess I'll a lot of the times say, like, be able to tell kind of their tests and just like kind of things that they do that I can read these days that I didn't really see back in the day. And I kind of find it unattractive, and it just kind of like hurts the connection.
Are you finding them not that interesting? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, some of them are interesting, but like, it seems like, I guess,
like, you know, the nice girl parts and curves, and they smell nice. Like, are they interesting to you? Do you guys have a good conversation, or is it very shallow and limited to like looks and stuff?
Well, that's the thing. It seems like, I mean, we already kind of know this, but it seems like the hotter they are, the more just kind of like bullshit there is. And I kind of, so that I'm,
that's not well on that. I've met chicks that are like, you know, think that they're tens and they got so much BS it's coming out their ears, right? I mean, right. It's not necessarily that the 10 will be the worst or bring the most drama, right?
Right. But on the contrary, I also hang out with girls that are maybe not as hot and more like, but they're not like that. They're like more down to earth, and they're just, you know, kind of, we can connect well, but then at the same time, I'm just not as attracted to them. So I'm just kind of,
Are you picking up on what Sage is throwing down here, Sean?
No, I'm kind of lost on the question.
All right, clarify.
I had Rich's question, same question. Like, it sounds like these women are not interesting to you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's I guess it seems like back before I kind of understood a lot of the female nature, I would have gotten more attached to these women, some of them that I did find interesting, but I don't really like.
Well, that's one of the things. Okay, so that's one of the things that you'll start to notice as you kind of like start to unplug from the comforting lies and realize the uncomfortable truths is a lot of guys will start to recognize, well, women don't have a lot of common similarities. Like, you don't have a lot of similarities. Like, you don't have a lot of common interests. Some guys will even say that a lot of women don't even have anything going on in their lives aside from their looks, right? I mean, like, where are you coming at from this?
Yeah. I mean,
like, well, how do you want to connect?
Well, that's the thing. I'm trying to make sure I'm not like, sometimes I know guys come on here and they talk about kind of the opposite. And Sean talks about how, like, it's good that they're not like a sociopath or something. And I like to think I'm not a sociopath, but I just, I really have been having a hard time finding a really good like attraction level to women.
I think you're asking the wrong questions at 20. Like, I get that you're trying to get your head around women in the sexual marketplace and attraction and arousal cues and all that sort of stuff. And I think, like, I just feel like you're putting way too much emphasis on trying to find the one. Like, when you're starting to talk about stuff
So that's the thing. It's okay. Like, because I really don't go on like a ton of dates. It's not the focus for me right now. So it's okay that I'm not finding that attraction level. Like, I find it totally okay, but I'm just trying to see if that's common, and it's not like I'm getting some kind of like,
what are you trying to force yourself to be?
Social issue or something like.
No, just like
with
you, know. You're like, you're trying to force yourself to be attracted to them, or you're trying to force yourself to have common grounds with her, or I mean, you're not going to find a lot of similarities between men and women with hobbies. I find, I mean, guys like adventure, they like taking risks, they like being disagreeable, they like dirt bikes, they like guns, they like planes and boats and bikes and cars and fashion, and girls like pink and fluffy and nails and lipstick and hair and fashion, and I mean, you're not going to find common ground unless you're gay. Right. And then you're going to kind of fall into her frame and you'll be talking about, you know, fashion and design and outfits and stuff like that and whatever. Right. I mean, like, you strike me as a guy that probably rides dirt bikes or something, or goes off on adventure trips or surfs.
Yeah. Yeah. All that. Yeah.
Why don't you just do your thing? And like, you know, if there's women around you that you find interesting, then try to engage them rather than try to find something interesting about women that don't have any common ground with you that you swipe right on a dating app on. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there, dude.
Yeah. No, yeah, I feel that.
I don't know. Sean, like, what are you feeling here?
Well, here's the problem with number one, having values, and number two, having standards, is that it rules out a whole lot of people. It rules out almost everybody. And I don't know if that's part of what you're struggling with, is that you're starting to develop some standards and you're noticing that there's a lot of women that don't rise to the standard.
Right.
Right. No so cure for like, that. Well, I think, other than what Rich said.
Right. Okay. I mean, yeah, I guess you're right with that. I feel like my people my age, and women my age are, it's kind of right in the age of like social media and stuff. Like for you guys, I mean, you still talk about it, even with older women as well. But I feel like it's a lot more with women my age, and it's almost like unavoidable. Like, and the more.
Oh, it's off the chart. I mean, like women all ages, I mean, more so in their 20s and even 30s. It's off the chart, the amount of work they'll do to get attention. I mean, I just came back from Tulum a couple of weeks ago, and it's like everywhere I went, I started filming all the shit. Like I got to put a compilation together and put out a video to kind of like break it down, but it's like off the chart. And it was all Instagram boyfriends doing the video and photography work for these girls that were using the imagery and the video online to get the attention of other dudes, right? Like the thottery right. off the chart, right? So, you know, back to your point at 20, what I would be doing is, you know, working on your own thing. If there's a woman that enters your life, that enters your frame, that compliments it, she's sweet, you know, there's good things going on, then maybe you can consider an LTR. But those should be many years down the road. At 20, dude,
right?
It should not be the focus. Like, I wouldn't worry about, you know, whether or not you're going to find, because I mean, to me, it sounds like you're talking a lot along the lines of how do I find the one? How do I find a good match? It's like, you're 20, who cares?
Right.
These are that
I totally agree.
Yeah. Like these are all good questions that are fine to entertain right now and kind of get rolling in your head. Just see what these questions look like and feel like, but it shouldn't be like, you know, Rich, I just can't really connect with these chicks. Like we don't seem to have much in common. I don't really find them that interested, you know, beyond their own beauty. It's like, well, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, women are beauty objects and men are success objects. And that's kind of like how we complement each other, you know, and always have throughout history. Work on your own thing, dude. At 20 years old, I want you asking questions like, hey, you know, should I get that 750cc bike or the Leader bike?
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I appreciate the input. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man. I'm going to let you go. All right. A lot of younger guys asking too many questions about relationship stuff with women right now, I feel. I don't know.
Feels yeah, that's what we're trained. That's what we're trained to do, right? We're trained to be relationship material.
Right away.
And it doesn't work at 20.
No.
I shouldn't say it doesn't work. It works if you have very similar values that are squared away and you're on the same mission. Like if you're in a religious community and you're going to stay in the religious community, it can work, but no. In his situation, no.
Good, man. All right, let's throw Eugene on. Eugene, what's up?
Gentlemen, how are y'all doing?
Doing good.
All right, I'm going to give you a scenario. I'm going to ask a question off of that.
Fire away.
I'm about to be 29 years old. I'm a veteran going to school right now. I have something that most veterans do not have. No wife, no kids, no pets, no debts. Now, because I'm going to school right now, I get paid to do that. I don't have like serious income coming in. Should I try dating something like that or just avoid it altogether? Getting good grades in school is not a huge issue for me, but obviously it's the biggest concentration while I'm here. So that's kind of like my general question. I overheard like there's guys here that share an apartment with like two or three other guys and broke as hell. Yet they can, yeah, they're still getting dates and all that stuff. So I guess I imagine an older guy like me who has everything going, like I have all these toys, I have more things I'm willing to admit, but I have no debt. I have all these hobbies. I've got more life experience and I like to lift weights. But do you think it's a good idea to try this now or wait till I'm 35? That's when I imagine I'll be back in the professional world. But heading in at the age of 35 with about no dating experience is kind of a high risk thing. Then there's the other possibility where you don't even think about it at all. Because I know a couple of guys in their late 40s, early 50s, never relationship. They've had, you know, successful careers. They have nice houses. They got lots of cool cars. But deep down inside, I can tell they're pretty bitter. I want to see what you guys are intake on this.
What do you want out of women in your life? You want marriage and kids and that whole thing?
I think it'd be pretty cool. I don't know how possible that is, to be realistic with you.
It's pretty possible. But why wouldn't it be possible?
Well, there's a divorce machine. No idea where things are going.
Meaning you're not willing to march down that path.
It is a high risk thing, but you have to do that if you want to get, you know, a good family.
So,
right. So, do you,
how much experience do you have?
Go ahead, Rich.
Question?
How much experience do you have with women?
You know, I just had like, the only thing I've had was hookups, to be honest with you. They weren't intentional hookups, but it was trying to be a date and it ended up being a hookup, and then nothing really ever went anywhere.
Okay. So can you distill your question to like one paragraph, like one tweet sort of thing? Like, what's the question here? We're trying to get some clarity on.
Okay. Say it again. Sorry if I wasn't clear enough. Would it be okay if I give dating some experience now, or just hold off until I'm back in the real world making big money?
Do you like girls?
I do.
Sounds like you don't have any distractions. You don't have any ex-wives, any kids in tow, any debt, any pets. What's stopping you from dating, man? Just, you know, spin some plates and let the cream rise to the top and let the crap fall off the bottom and just kind of do your thing, right?
That's very good. That's very true.
I mean, really, like, that's how you're going to get clarity, is with some contrast. But I'm a little interested as to why you're only end up with just hookup scenarios. Like, why do you think that just happens back to back?
You know, I never really had the charisma back in the day. I never really had the background that I do now.
Enough women are getting into bed with you without even being in a relationship or even dating, right? I mean, if they're just straight up hookups, you got something going on.
Yeah, even if they're
the best want, right? Because a lot of guys are sitting there going, I don't understand. I just don't do good well with women, right? And then we got Eugene coming on going, all I get is hookups.
I mean, they aren't the best of women, but they are women nonetheless.
Okay.
You know, you can't really figure that out while trying to find like a girl who's wife and mother material. I have no idea where you find girls like that around. It's a really hard balance. This is an interesting place. I'm not exactly going to say where I am right now, but most of the people here, like most, you know, they're younger than me, but most of them are taller than me. I'm 5'10". Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of girls walking around. They're like 6 foot, 6'1". And I'm like,
In Amsterdam or something, or Denmark?
No. I'm in the Midwest United States.
Oh, you're in the States. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I do feel like girls who are taller of that height, they don't care about height. I feel like, you know, amazing girl who's 6 foot has less options than the same attractive looking girl who's like 5'2".
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, like women that are 5'2" set incredibly high standards to be with a guy that's over 6 foot for some bizarre reason, even though the guy's got to crane his neck down and he ends up with neck problems.
Yeah.
But like a 6'1" woman will date a guy that's like 5'10", like no problem whatsoever. Okay, so your question is, what do I do on a sexual marketplace right now? Do I just focus on, at 30, if kids are in the cards, you're going to have to get clear on women, right? If kids are not in the cards, you don't need to get clear on them unless you're going to be sleeping with them. And even then, I mean, if you're going to be sleeping, then you should be careful, because the last thing you want to do is have some woman knock on your door that you were, you know, hooking up with 4 months ago going, hey, by the way, I'm doing 4 months. How are we going to handle this?
Very true. I have avoided all this kind of stuff the whole year since I moved up here. One thing I have noticed, because, you know, a job's important with this. At the beginning of the year, I was talking with this woman. I think she was asking me what I was doing for a living, but I didn't say, I forget how I worded this, but in the end, it's like, I didn't have a full-time job, and she doesn't like that, which is understandable, obviously, but she doesn't know the whole backstory, which I probably should have mentioned.
Well, but women have the expectation that you're competent, you can deliver, you know, a steady source of income. That's just kind of a given, right?
Yeah, that's understandable.
But what are you stuck on with women? I'm still confused on what you're looking for clarity on.
Because at my age, most guys have like big source of income sort of coming in. You know, they got the full-time job, they have all those responsibilities. I used to be like that, but now I'm a student. Mm-hmm. I'm not like a typical student though, because I'm never going to get debt.
That's what you done with school. Like what's the outcome? You're going to be a doctor, or like what are you going to school for?
So I'm going to get my bachelor's in MIS. And if it goes really well, I hope to get my master's in information systems. I can hopefully complete that without even getting into any debt at all.
Okay. So yeah. How are you funding school if you're not working?
GI Bill. I'm a veteran.
Okay. Sean, you got some questions?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think that if kids are in the future.
Microphone's weird.
Yeah, your mic went totally crazy. I just had to mute you.
I think it's... Try again.
Try it again, Sean.
Test. You got me.
Nah, it's gone completely wonky. Maybe just like leave and come back, because that seemed to solve it last time. I'm not sure what happened there, but it sounds like you're getting feedback on like the craziest degree. Yeah, Eugene, if you're asking for my honest opinion right now, what I would be doing is really just focusing on getting that schooling done, getting clarity on what it is that this next chapter of life's going to look like into your 30s. I mean, you're coming up, you got a lot of runway left, right? I mean, like most guys don't get into the sexual market value peak until they're like their mid 30s, even their 40s, early 40s. You know, you can push it back. If you're healthy, you take care of yourself. You know, you got your head screwed on right. So like, as far as what you're basically asking is, what role should women play in my life right now? And they shouldn't play a significant role. Unless you want to let them in there on a basic level, right? And in my estimation, that's really all that you should be doing right now until you get clarity on your own life and going through the vetting process with women. A lot of guys will say, oh, you can't vet women. You know, you can really step down. We get
feedback from them. Yeah, I'm getting this weird audio from you.
Is that coming through my end?
Yeah, I heard it through your end. Okay, you're fine now.
That's really bizarre. I'm not sure if the system is going to work for us, if this is going to keep doing this thing.
I guess it's stuck to the two bald jack guys with a beard and Bose headphones.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. Yeah, but just carry on, man. Like, just carry on doing your thing. You don't have any debt. You got shit together. You don't have any kids in tow. You don't have an ex-wife. You don't have any pets. You got to sort of like, you're coming at life from a pretty good angle. I mean, once you graduate and you've got that all done, like, how many years down the road is that going to be?
So I should get my bachelor's in about 2 years, actually a year and a half. And at that point, I might get my master's. So we're going to say 4 years to be safe.
Yeah. So you're going to be like your mid-30s, right? Like, you'll be in your stride. You'll be a high value dude. The problem is when you're on the dating, scope at 35, a lot of women come to the table with a lot of baggage, right? They're going to come to the table with kids from, you know, multiple men in some cases. I mean, you're going to have the luxury to choose. As long as you're a high value guy, you got some game, you know, you got your looks, you know, sorted out in order. You don't, you know, pull the pin on the fat grenade and blimp out or anything like that. You'll be just fine, dude. Like, just keep it together. Make sure you got clarity on the sexual marketplace, understanding women. I mean, you've gone through Sean's book, you've gone through the Rational Gale book series.
I've gone through the Rational books. I still have to get through Positive Masculinity.
Yeah. So what I would be doing, dude, is just like date under 26, under 26. You know, they're not at the epiphany phase. They're still okay with just kind of like having fun. It should be pretty casual. You shouldn't be getting too much pressure about getting wifed up. Do not wife anybody up until you got clarity on understanding women and like human nature. And, you know, you're good to go. That's how I would go about it. That's what I'd do at your age. You're in a good place, man.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I mean, I don't really intend to find a girl to marry or get into a deep relationship with, but at least have some casual dating. It's never really happened, so I figured I'm in college right now. I'm going to give it a try, regardless of scenarios going on in the real world, universities and all, but...
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%, dude. Enjoy it. All right.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Thanks, man. Eugene, remove from stream. All right. I'm not sure what's going on with this stream yard. It worked great last week. So it looks like we're having some problems with it this week. But Sean's back. Let me add him back in. There we go. How's that?
You got me? Can you hear me?
Way better. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was brutal. We're coming up on the 90-minute mark. Do you want to do one more?
Let me talk about Eugene for a minute, because I noticed some things there while I was waiting backstage. This guy kind of approaches, he's got this blunted affect almost, like he's going through, I'm inserting a lot here, but he's going through life in a very effective, formulaic way. Like, he got the finances mastered. He's got his plan for his education. He's laying it out in a spreadsheet. Like, he knows where he's going, and he's got this presentation that's a little bit flat. And that makes me wonder about, it just makes me wonder how successful he's going to be. I agree with everything you said about if kids are in the future, then he needs to start developing some finesse around relationships, because this formulaic approach for getting his finances under control and so forth, that stuff's actually going to backfire on him down the road if he wants to go that route of wife and kids. So he's got to, if he wants that, he's got to be practicing relationships right now and developing a little bit of finesse.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad you caught that and made that point as well. Let me grab this super chat here real quick from Ryan. He says, as a 33-year-old man making six figures in IT, the MIS degree is good, but it's going to take 3 to 5 years minimum to make it big. Consider working after the BA. So something to consider there. Actually, let's just quickly shout out to channel sponsor, Grondyke Soap Company and Tactical Soap. This stuff over here is what makes everything happen on my channel. If you're showering, which I hope you are, because you don't want to smell bad, the stuff's pheromone infused and it's handmade in the States. If you grab the trifecta pack, they've got some larger packs that are either 5 or 6 packs. You get a bit of a bigger discount. You can either, there's a link below pinned in the description, or you can go to coopersoap.com. Check out with coupon code Cooper, you get 10% off. I think coopersoap.com has a coupon code already applied. So use either or, but consider that if you're taking showers, which I hope you are. I think we should probably wrap up, Sean. It's been about 90 minutes, and that's really the aim of the show, is to try to help as many guys avoid train wrecks in that period of time. I am not around next Monday, so the next show I can do is the 2nd of September. Is that one good for you?
Yep, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. So traveling next week, we'll be back on the 2nd of September. Follow us on social if you want to get the announcement on when the show is and what time. Twitter's probably the best place, is where I put it out. It's just Rich_Cooper or at Iron Shrink. And you can find out where we're at, what's going on with the shows. Any closing thoughts on tonight's show?
One more question on this self-deprecation thing. I'm not trying to build a case here like Columbo, but
I think you're hung up on this.
No, I'm trying to sort it out, because okay, I've not given it a ton of thought. So, okay, as I'm walking down the street with my wife and my daughter, and I stumble. So option A is I try to play it off. You guys aren't perfect either, or whatever. You know, I'll go that route. Or option B, I laugh a little bit at myself. What do I do? Like something like, hey, did you see that sidewalk move? Like, I'm not going to call myself an idiot. I'm not going to self-deprecate in that direction, but I will call attention to the fact that it was kind of goofy and it was a little klutzy, and then let's move on. What do you do?
Yeah, like self-deprecation. Okay, so you're trying to find a way to self-deprecate. So let's find a way for Rich to admit that he self-deprecates. So
I'm not trying to build a case against you. I'm just trying to.
Okay, so this is the way that I self-deprecate, is I'll be walking down, you know, with my kid to go get ice cream today like I did, right? We're going to the ice cream shop and I blow a fart. And I'll be like, you hear that? There's barking spiders on the sidewalk. That's how I'll play it off.
Okay, yeah, my dad used to do that one. All right, so we're on the same page there. Yeah. So I think it's just a definitional thing. Like when Rollo talks about self-deprecation, it's more along the lines of insulting yourself and knocking yourself down a peg rather than just treating yourself with a little bit of lightness.
Yeah, like you got to have some dignity as a man as far as who you are.
Absolutely.
And the self-deprecation is really problematic for men, right? Because when guys go about it, they go about it the wrong way, because what we try to do is we make ourselves less. And women don't respect men that will make themselves less. They just don't. They're just going to
disagree. Agreed. Yeah, 100%.
Before we roll, let's just quickly shout to this last super chat. Advice to a 35-year-old son to vet a woman for kids. Advice to your 35-year-old son to vet a woman for kids. Bachelor dating and chasing excellence. No epiphany phase. I don't want to start at 40. Thanks. That's difficult. I would love for you to click through and join us and ask us next time. We're going to be on, guys, on Monday nights. Appreciate the super chat, but you really need to get some dialogue going, to get some clarity, to get some proper Q&A going. So consider that for the next show. The next one will be on September 2nd. Around 8 o'clock. All right. Thanks for watching tonight's show. We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.